Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trent Brower. The former blockoff has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We would love to have you join the program. We're going to go to Jupiter, chat with Rob Raines. Charlie Marlow is going to join us at 11. Is that correct? Charlie, he's coming in a little early. Good to hear.
Chuck coming in at 11, indeed.
Martin has the day off. And then we are going to talk with Dr. Rick a little bit later, too. Hey, have either of you gentlemen ever heard of the fashion icon name Karl Lagerfeld?
He's the guy who just died, and I saw a quote about him saying that he's like allergic physically to flip-flops, so I'm glad he's dead.
Haven't heard.
You're a flip-flop fan?
Yes, I love flip-flops. Any person who is against that can go away.
Also, the reason he's in the news is he is worth $200 million, and he has a famous cat, Chupete. And apparently some of this money is going to go to the cat.
Stop it.
Yes.
You donate it. Don't piss it away and give it to a cat.
Donate it to a cat shelter. Play, yeah.
If you love cats, donate it to like a cat shelter or
now,
something.
In the cat's defense, the cat has been a part of some of his magazine covers and has his own $3 million trust fund. And now he's going to get a little bit more of this. So, oh, my goodness.
People with money.
It's so dumb.
Disgusting. Just imagine how much value that money could be if he put it to use.
How'd you like to be his son or daughter? And you go, man, I got bit by the cat.
I'm killing the cat. Am I next of kin if the cat dies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dad. I'll take care of the cat.
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Real, yeah.
And are we all in agreement? And I say this with one of my brothers who actually has a cat, that people who like cats more than dogs, I just don't understand. I don't want to judge them. I just can't understand how anybody would like a cat more than a dog.
I'm with you. Although, as a kid, I did have a nice family cat, Skeeter. He was great. So I don't want to say every cat. But for the most part, get yourself a dog and it'll change your life.
Oh, it's the best ever. I mean, dude, at 11 o'clock when I came home last night, if I had a cat, would the cat have been jumping all over me and considered it a great achievement for me to get home and just snuggle and just want to be your friend? No, but dogs do. Jack and Ted, it's a hero's welcome every freaking night.
And I wake up extremely early. I wake the dogs out of bed. The first thing they do is wag their tail. They're super pumped to start the day, even though it is at, 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's
they're
great.
Still pumped.
In fact, to get my dogs going, like, hey, you guys want some breakfast, some pancakes and sausage? And they just get so excited.
Yeah, you say the treat word, you say that, and it's on.
Oh, treat, yeah. Or if you say, do you want to go bye-bye in the car?
Oh,
They'll turn their head a little bit. I mean, we have to send Brooke in D.C. videos of Jack and Ted, us saying, do you want to go bye-bye in the car? And they just switch. Dogs are the greatest.
Yes.
All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. 52 years, and only one time have they won 11 games in a row.
Mitch Marner around behind, and a centering pass blocked, and it's a 2-on-1 the other way. O'Reilly and Tarasenko. Ryan O'Reilly scores!
It's fun hockey. We're really enjoying it. You can see just from the start of the year how, frustrating it was and how we, kept working and working and just not getting the result. And now we're kind of, you see the way we've come together and how everyone's invested in each other, Everyone's trying to make it easier for the next guy. And again, that wasn't a perfect game. Good first. They took just the second. A couple bad bounces in the third, but, we stuck with it again. And it's one of those things, as a team, we're coming together and we're finding ways to win hockey games.
Yeah, it wasn't a perfect game, but it was perfect that the hardest worker and the most consistent player scores the game-winning, franchise-setting goal in overtime. What a freaking trade, too. Vladimir Sobotka, Patrick Berglund, Tage Thompson, and some draft picks. Those three, by the way, have combined for 13 goals this season. O'Reilly has 23 and is the blood and guts of this franchise. And he's created a culture of hard work. Remember, he conducts that practice after every practice for every player who wants to get better. How is that guy not a leader? Lap two. Then there's the goaltender. Not sure if I've mentioned this on radio. I know I've tweeted it and did it on television. And not saying he's a Hall of Famer, MVP, or even All-Star. I am saying Jordan Binnington is doing for the Blues what Kurt Warner did for the Rams 20 years ago. An older rookie from a minor league who keeps getting passed over and over, gets a chance, and is playing like the best in the league. He has changed the franchise. And like with Warner, he had plenty of help. Isaac, Marshall, Torrey, and Orlando. For Jordan, it's O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Shannon, Parayko. But none of this gets done without the guy stopping the puck. Example, early second period last night, 2-0 lead. Binnington makes some great saves.
Directs it on net, but Marner turns. Maybe a break for Toronto. Hyman is loose. Hyman the pass. Hyman the backhand. And Binnington with the stop.
You know, a few months ago, that's a goal. Mm-hmm. And Nystrom had another one. What is it? Nystrom?
I think Nystrom, I think.
Nystrom, yeah.
Also, a 2-0 lead becoming a 2-2 tie is a loss a few months ago, too. They don't fight back to win it.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, lap three. Mizzou. So it doesn't look that bad when you look in the paper, 66-58 versus Kentucky. But it was 41-23 at halftime. Ronnie Suggs really played well. The young man from Washington finished with 13 points. Congrats to him. Now on scholarship. Nice kid, great family. But the game really wasn't that close. Once again, you had Jeremiah Tillman getting into foul trouble and playing 5 minutes in the first half. Kevin Puryear got into foul trouble earlier than Tillman did. So how are you supposed to win when your four and your five are out of the game so early? Let's hear from the coaches after the game.
Let me tell you again, I told the team at halftime, look, they're going to be playing with house money. They're going to make some shots, and they're going to make two or three runs at you. Just understand that's what's going to happen. But they out-rebounded us. We're supposed to be that kind of team. And they fought like heck, and his team, I watched all the tapes, and I'm just telling you, they, you know, the game at Tennessee, they had a chance to win. I mean, they really did. And they shoot the ball well. You know, and so this is, for us, this is a big-time win. It's a road win. In this league, you went on the road in this league, you got something done.
You
got
to embrace challenges. And I just say it like I look in some guys' eyes. I'll just put it like that. Your eyes can tell me if you're ready to play. I see the same thing in Ronnie and Javon's eyes all the time.
I told him, like, keep it 100.
I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, it's what you do. You're on scholarship. You're part of a program. It's what you're supposed to do, or you got to find a new program. I mean, I've never been one to kind of judge or gauge whether or not they're buying in. If you're not buying in, you have to relocate. I mean, I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't. This is what you're supposed to do. Give everything you got. I mean, you're on scholarship. Somebody's paying for your schooling. That's the least you can do is play hard.
Yeah. And Calipari was impressed how hard Konzo's teams play. By the way, after a win, it's almost like 100% unanimous at every college coach's press conference. Boy, that other team really played well. Man, they're just so well coached. Man, they
we
play
knew
so
they were going to make a run.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it? I remember, you know, like, one of the reasons, well, there's a lot of reasons to love Charlie Spoonhour. But one of the reasons that Bob Huggins loved Charlie Spoonhour is he beat Charlie Spoonhour like a drum. I'd love the guy that I would beat every time, you know? But so he's impressed with how hard Konzo's teams play. And he's right. They do play hard. And they did fight last night. And they didn't get blown out of the building by one of the most talented teams in America.
John Calipari's a lot like Charlie Marlowe in that he'll always make you feel like you won. Or at least we're almost won. Like, if you make a fantasy trade with Charlie Marlowe, Plowsy, you can attest to this. We'll say, dude, you really won this trade that we just made.
No,
I'm informing this guy. You won the trade.
Yeah. That 215 average is deceiving.
Like, Calipari could beat you by 40 and make you seem like they only won the game on the last shot.
Yeah. First time, by the way, that Marlowe's ever been compared to Calipari, but I see
that's it. That's where the end. Okay. But that's That's it.
How about this, too, last night? And I know everybody was watching the Blues game, but I had it up there, too, for a little bit when I wasn't at the game. Calipari, with that victory last night, tied Joe B. Hall for most victories in Kentucky basketball history. I don't know if that's most of all time. No, Adolph Rupp is most of all time. But I think it was the last night maybe was his 300th or something like that. He's averaged 29 wins a season. But the fact that this, that he tied Joe B. Hall, I mean, when I think of Calipari in Kentucky, yeah, he's been there for a cup of coffee. I know he's at Memphis, and he was at, you know, in the NBA. He's at UMass. Wait, Joe B. Hall's like this legend, and Calipari's been there for a cup of coffee, and he's already tied him with victories?
You get 28 wins a year, though. You add up pretty quick.
Yeah, right. You're right. God, I was just stunned at that. We had Tom Leach on yesterday. He says Joe B., I think, is in his 90s. And he's doing well. Joe B. Hall. I think the B stands for Beesman. Joe Beesman Hall. All right. But so on the effort, it's nice that they have it, okay? I'm proud of that. That's great. But in that league, it's about having really good players. It's not about effort. Well, I mean, you need both, but, I mean, Mizzou has good players, just not really good players. They're young and... You know, you better hope a few things happen with this program. They individually improve. The class that they have coming in is really, really skilled and really, really talented. And Tillman stays, grows, and has an incredible offseason of work and figures out he doesn't help this team getting two fouls in the first 5 minutes. That's a lot to bank on for them to be competitive next year. I remember a college coach told me once after a bad season on a squad he had that was loaded with freshmen, just because they become sophomores, it doesn't necessarily mean they're getting better. So I hate it when these teams have these really bad seasons. Well, you know, we played all these freshmen. But doesn't mean they're getting any better, okay? You are who you are sometimes as a basketball player. Now, a lot of times it can improve. Like, Tennessee's a perfect example of that. So they better hope this class coming in has elite talent. And they better hope Tillman figures it out and stays. And believe me, when I say stays, I honestly believe the NBA is not clamoring for Jeremiah Tillman. But he could probably go somewhere else and get paid to play basketball. We'll find out. All right, lap four. Pat Riley did an interview with Dan Lebatard. I think it's going to air on Sunday, and I'm very interested in watching it because I believe Riley is, you know, one of the most fascinating figures in basketball history. From playing in one of the most famous college games of all time, Texas El Paso beat his Kentucky team in the national championship game in 1966, to the Showtime Lakers, where he won four titles as a coach. I think they won five total, but Paul Westhead won one of them. To taking a moderately skilled Knicks team to the finals and almost winning the finals. To winning two titles with the Heat and putting together that first kind of like dream team with the big three. And then this is a minor issue, but don't forget, he helped to create a culture of great dressing and being stylish on the sidelines. No more jean shoe or cotton Fitzsimmons coaching with a corduroy sport coat with patches and Sansabelt slacks. With Riley, it was Armani, even the collar, it's now called the Pat Riley spread. So you can talk all you want about the cool people in sports. And I'm sure my two cohorts here, my two colleagues, could come up with the coolest guy ever in professional sports. But in my mind, Pat Riley, the coolest in professional sports history. I know they're coolers.
Namath is.
Oh, he'd be up there, yeah. And, you know, Michael Jordan would be up there, too.
Yeah.
But in my mind, the coolest. I remember when I was in Lexington at WLEX, the Lakers, right in the middle of their championship run, came to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. So we called the Lakers, and we set up this to do a story on Pat, who's still a legend in Kentucky. Story is, he used to drive a convertible, like, 65 red Mustang. And he, let's just say, wasn't lacking for companionship on the female side. But anyway, so we did this story on him, and I remember it's like the first time I've ever interviewed anybody where I thought, like during the interview, God, I can't believe I'm talking to him. Or I thought, man, that's a good-looking tie. He was so cool. So the meat of this interview with Le Batard was how stung Riley was after being snubbed by LeBron in 2014. He was given every indication possible by the LeBron camp that Miami was in it. So he was going to present his franchise to the guy he's already been paying. He flew to Vegas, and he brought the trophies with him, the world championship trophies in these nice black cases. And midway during his presentation, he was going to, you know, text or just knock on the door and have somebody come in and put the trophies right down in front of LeBron to just remember what they've accomplished and what they could accomplish in the re-recruitment of LeBron. But as soon as he walked in that room, he could sense he wasn't coming back to Miami. And he never knocked on the door for the guy to bring in the trophies. He knew there was no chance. And he handled it, I guess, better than Dan Gilbert, who was bitter and immature about it. But boy, Riley was ticked off, and maybe he was about as angry as you could possibly be. So, all right, lap five. The Cardinals. There are not many franchises who could lose their most talented pitcher and replace him with the one with the most potential. But that is the 2019 Cardinals. Carlos Martinez is down. Alex Reyes is up. Anytime you hear shoulder, you should be concerned, especially when it's Carlos, who was on the DL, I believe, three times last year. And often when the Cardinals say 2 weeks, that means 2 months. Will Reyes definitely get the call in that rotation? Eventually, yeah. But Dakota Hudson is looming. And doesn't John Gant deserve a spot? However, with this rotation, as we've discussed, they all likely will get a shot. Adam Wainwright is 37. Do you really think he's going to start 25 games this year? Michael Wacha hasn't exactly been Mike Mussina in terms of innings either. Austin Gomber, come on down. Daniel Ponce de Leon, stay sharp. Mike Schilt on why the Cardinals are shutting down Carlos.
When he first got here, the evaluation of where he is, regardless of the amount of work he did, wasn't quite to where we would have liked it to be, nor he would have liked it to have been. So his strength and his ability to make sure he can move forward and looking at the longer view of our season, we're gonna back him off for 2 weeks. So he'll be no throw and he'll be in strength mode. The great news is, because I know a question that may be coming is, well, has he had an MRI? Has he been tested? Of course he has. The structure of his shoulder is in amazingly good shape. We just have to make sure we have some of the little muscles that are continuing to be strengthened to allow the workload and the capacity so we don't have an interruption like we did last year.
Well, hope you understood that. Does anybody think right now that Carlos Martinez is going to start 25 games?
Nope.
I would love him in the bullpen. Love him in the bullpen.
But as you've probably read in the last 48 hours, that up and down, you know, pitching every day may not be the greatest thing either.
No, yeah, I'm just saying that's my – I mean, I'm sure they're going to use him as a starter. For me, I think he's more beneficial in the bullpen role.
Yeah, he's a
You know, I imagine with the stuff that he has, they're wanting to be a starter for sure.
All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. I'm not sure of many things in life. You know, I guess death, taxes, and Vachon. They're going to win a state title. We were with Floyd Irons yesterday for a little bit at our remote, and we were talking about Nicholas Kern, Nicholas Kern Jr. His father was a great player. And Vachon is so good, they don't start him. I mean, I don't know if you've seen highlights of this kid, but he's unbelievable. How deep can a high school basketball team be if Nicholas Kern Jr. is not starting? Plays a lot, but they don't start him. Floyd Irons thinks he may be the best player on the team. I think he's only a sophomore, too. Go see Yuri Collins at St. Mary's. I had a longtime basketball observer tell me he's the best pure point guard he's ever seen in high school. He'll be at SLU next year. Okay, finally, do you know how people say that, you know, people change, people grow up, people mature, people evolve? I don't think I have. So my sister, Laura, has been cleaning out some stuff in my mom's place at the Gatesworth. And she came across this big manila envelope of notes and cards from Frank Jr. That's me, to mom. And so I get home last night at 11 o'clock, and she dropped it off at our house. And she says, I thought you'd get a kick out of these notes. And so there were a bunch of letters to mom and dad. Most of the letters were kind of sweet about, it was like when I was in Kentucky and Tennessee saying, thanks so much, because my dad used to send me $20 every once a week because I was making $12.5. And he thought I should get a bad steak at the York Steakhouse, which is slightly better than the Ponderosa. But anyway, this is a note that I wrote to my mom when I was 13 years old, we believe. And I wrote it on the back of a Kimmel's menu. And, Brian, I want you to read this.
Your handwriting has not changed at all, by the way. Mom, thank you so much for all of the food and drink. Nothing in life makes me happier than a full refrigerator. You are the greatest mother, Frank.
How about that?
Some Sambuco and red wine in the fridge making you happy there, Frank?
I don't think so, but probably pasta and veal and everything. I mean, I have not changed one bit. I mean, Monique,
did you write a note to Monique, too, recently with the same kind of connotation?
Says, in fact, she oh, my God, this is you right now. You know, there's this thing, and I don't wonder if you guys are familiar with it. Brian is recently married, and Plowsy may be getting married one day soon. He loves this woman. But have you heard about the five love languages? There's a book written about it.
I have not.
But so everybody in the world has five love languages, and how we're different is how we prioritize it. Now, usually for men, it's physical touch, number one.
House chores for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Acts of service.
Oh, absolutely.
You mean if she does acts of service, that's more important than physical touch?
No. Okay. I'm saying that's what I do for my gal anything.
That's almost number one for all women.
Absolutely do it, yeah.
Now, number two for men is usually – do you have the five there?
I can look it up. Okay. The five love languages?
For men, after physical touch, most of us, it would be words of affirmation. But for me, I don't care if she calls me an SOB as long as we have physical touch.
So here are the five ways to express and experience love, according to Gary Chapman, the author. Receiving gifts, quality time, words of affirmation – acts of service, parentheses, devotion, and physical touch.
Yeah. What would be up there for your wife? It was
what am I looking for as far as in that what it is? The what I
what do
what
you
she
want most first?
What I want most, physical attraction, number one, for
right,
sure.
Physical touch.
Physical touch.
Brian,
physical
how about
touch.
You?
Yeah,
all right.
Physical
now,
touch.
Now, what would your wife want? Acts of service, without a doubt.
Yes, and she gets that tenfold. I do all of the chores. So she
really?
Gets
Look
what she wants, I think, with the...
Well, that's because you want physical touch in exchange.
Yeah, the sooner we get the laundry done...
Straight up deal.
Fair.
And Brian, what would it be for your bride?
Probably acts of service, but physical touch is a close second. Dead last for both of us is probably receiving gifts.
I would agree 1,000%.
I don't really care about that.
Yeah. That's good.
I mean, I gave my wife a bag of candy for Valentine's Day, and she gave me almonds. That's kind of where we're at from a gift-giving standpoint.
Yeah, you want to bring a box of mini corn dogs home, I'll throw them in the freezer, and I'll be thankful
right.
for it. I don't need any big, lavish
gifts.
Were
those dark chocolate almonds?
No, they were just the natural, not okay. not salted.
You can eat them yourself.
The right way you should eat them, because they're healthier that way.
Shout at me. All right, let's take a short time out before we go to break. Quick word about our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, we recommend Hollywood Casino. Watch the games at 99 Hops House, a beer selection that only Brian Hoffman would love, Final Cut Steakhouse, all-you-can-eat buffet, Charlie Gito's Italian restaurant, one of the best in St. Louis, and also just a great chance to just people watch. Man, there are some fun-looking characters, and it's just a fun place to hang out and just be around the great people at Hollywood Casino. We'll take a short time out. We're going to Florida next, and we're going to be joined by our friend Rob Rains from Jupiter.